You're listening to 90.9 The Lion. KSLU, Hammond.
Hello, Hammond America. This is your sports update on your Lion Nation station, KSLU 90.9 The Lion. I'm Jacob Cienat. The Southeastern Louisiana University's baseball team will go on the road to take on South Alabama tonight at 6:30 p.m. Then we'll come back home to take on SFA for a conference weekend series. Student athlete Connor Cuff has been named the Brooks Wallace Award Player of the Week for his performance from March 2nd to March 8th. The College Baseball Hall of Fame announced this Tuesday. Cuff went 9 for 20, which is good for a .450 batting average at the plate with 9 runs scored, 9 RBIs, 2 doubles, and 3 home runs, including a grand slam. Cuff also drew 4 walks and was successful on his only stolen base attempt. He did not commit an error in 19 chances in the field, earning 7 putouts and 12 assists. The two-time reigning Southland Conference Tournament Champion, Southeastern Louisiana University's softball team will return home for the first time in a month when it hosts Southern Mississippi tonight at 4:30 p.m. at North Oak Park. This opens up a two-week homestand for the Lady Lions. They will round out their week with a weekend series versus HCU with a doubleheader on Friday, starting at 4 p.m., then the next game following, and finish up with a game on Saturday at noon. Last night was a historic night in the NBA, with Bam Adebayo scoring 83 points against the Wizards, which is the second most points in an NBA game ever, behind Wilt Chamberlain's 100 points, where he did that back on March 2nd of 1962, and this is the most points ever caught on camera. Now, make sure to stay tuned to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Lion Nation, welcome to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System, your home for all things Lion sports on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Welcome to this week's episode of Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System. I'm Damon Sundy. Thanks for joining us today. Our guests on this episode include softball coach Rick Freeman, baseball coach Bobby Barbier, golf coach Lawrence Allen, along with tennis student athlete Paige Duncan. All this coming your way next on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System. When we return, Tyler Thomas will sit down with coach Rick Freeman to talk about a no-hitter and softball sweep of a four-game swing through Texas.
We'll be right back on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System.
University Donuts is a proud supporter of Southeastern Athletics in the Lion community. University Donuts offers breakfast and lunch options weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and weekends from 6:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Located less than 1 mile from campus at 1215 West University Avenue, University Donuts is available by phone at area code 985-542-1588. Or online at facebook.com/universitydonuts. University Donuts, proud to support your Southeastern Lions. Lion up.
Hi, I'm Nancy Landry. No matter what part of our great state you call home, Louisiana's elections are an important part of who we are. In 2026, closed party primaries will change how some of those elections happen, so you'll want to know what to do. Keeping your registration current ensures you'll get the right party-based ballot. Remember, this change only applies to certain offices. To learn more, visit govote.com or download the GoVote app.
Paid for by the Louisiana Secretary of State's office.
You're listening to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. I'm here joined by head softball coach Rick Freeman. And coach, welcome back to the show and welcome back home. Talk about the road trip, 20 straight games on the road.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's good to be back. man, some days we didn't know what hotel we were waking up in and what city and what state. So it's just good to get our feet back under us and play in front of home crowd.
Yeah, you did a lot. People don't understand how difficult that can be. I mean, you started it off in Youngsville. That's a place you guys are familiar with. You've been there a lot. But then you go on this huge Texas road trip, and you guys were there for, you know, the better part of almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, ever since Florida on the opening of the season, it's just been long and battle-testing our players. I think it'll help out in the end. I don't think they're physically tired. I think just mentally it takes a toll on you. But we did it for a reason, and I think in the first conference series, you can see kind of the difference with the schedule we played and preparing the team to play at a high level.
Yeah, you talked about playing at a high level. Your pitching staff right now is playing one of the best in the country. You've got two top 30 ERA pitchers in the country. Just talk about your staff. I mean, this is when we talked earlier in the season. You said that this is one of the deepest staffs you've got. Just talk about them this season.
Yeah, I think the ERA nationally is around 12 or something like that. So, you know, 300-something programs. It says a lot just from a pitching standpoint. But our defensive fielding has improved over the years, and I think it's sitting 80 on a fielding percentage. You have a very salty defense, and I think ours is over 980, 981, 982, something like that. So I'm very pleased defensively. That helps our pitchers as well defend, take hits away. So they're working, you know, collectively as a group, and the pitchers showing love to those defenders, and defenders are happy to get off the field in a minimal amount of pitches.
That was actually the next thing I had was talking about fielding. You guys, 20th highest fielding percentage in the country. And that's not easy. That's not something that's easy, especially when you're, you know, playing a fast-paced game. Just talk about, you know, the improvements you've seen in the fielding aspect.
Well, I think the main thing that sticks out to me is with the low ERA and the high fielding percentage with the schedule we played. So those are the things that jump off the page, and I look for those numbers to continue to climb and go in the right direction now that we're in conference play. So, you know, you saw a little bit of offense this past weekend and also prior to the conference because we did a four-game set out there in Texas once again. Played a conference game before our three game, and I think that I just saw something different in the team when they took the field in Arlington, and I was just pleased, and it carried over at East Texas A&M.
And you talked about the offense at East Texas A&M. I mean, you guys show up, and you're on fire. Maria had three home runs in one day. Just talk about the bats. It seemed like the ball couldn't stay in the ballpark.
Just challenge them to swing hard and attack the right pitches and be aggressive. And that translated offensively with us putting a ball in a gap or more. And Maria, you know, was dialed in and obviously she's carried a lot of load being a senior veteran, middle of the lineup. And so, you know, we have faced extremely tough pitching up until this point. So, again, back to my point early, I think all of that paid off for numerous players and her in particular.
That was another thing I was also going to mention, too. The arms that you faced, you know, over the span of those 20 games, that, you know, looking at the offensive numbers, maybe comparing it to last year, which we don't like to do a lot, but we're a little bit lower. How do you kind of just, you know, instill confidence in them that, you know, this is, you're on the right track. We're playing some great players and we got trust in you to keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're as a mid-major school, you're lucky if you maybe face one All-American arm throughout a 56-plus game schedule. We've faced multiple All-Americans and potential All-Americans already up until this point. Both offensively, defensively, and in the pitching circle. So I just told them that I think the game's going to slow down for us at some point, and I think it did this past weekend. And so although it was a grueling February and early March, I just, you know, I'm pleased at where we're at right now. And I think the team will take the field this week once again with several home games and happy to play in front of a home crowd and they'll do their best as we put a good product on the field.
You talk about getting back home. You're also getting back to more of a normalized schedule as far as, you know, you're not playing multiple games and back-to-back weeks. You're starting to get more into like conference series a weekend, midweek. How does that structure kind of help, you know, kind of just, you know, you're playing a little bit less, it's less stress on the arms, things like that?
I think that's going to help tremendously. You know, I've put them in some bad situations the last few weeks, and they were told that. It's to prepare us for postseason, conference tournament, regional, super regionals, that sort of thing. And a lot of them, you know, got themselves in the best physical shape possible to go through that run. I think of several names, you know, in my head now who did that, and I'm very proud of them. But I believe that's going to help in the latter part of the season. But it's good, you know, with just one midweek and then the three-game series at a conference. And so we're going to get into that rotation now. And I think the team's just going to continue to climb, in my opinion.
You got eight straight games at home starting tonight against Southern Miss. Talk about what it means to get back in front of the North Oak Park faithful. I mean, you've only had one game this season, but the atmosphere at North Oak Park is something special. Talk about getting back in front of them.
Sure. Just the one home game we had, it was really good. It was a great environment, and, you know, pretty much every seat was full in the park, and it was a great turnout, and we hope to win those fans back over here this week once again. And, looks like the weather's going to be fine, and we're definitely looking forward to it, sleeping in our own bed and playing in front of Hammond America.
Talk about Southern Miss a little bit. What do they do well? This is a team that you see almost every year, it seems like. Talk about what they do well and what you're looking forward to seeing.
Sure. They're having a great season. I think they just came back from Florida, played some really, you know, tough games, and they're putting up good numbers. There's some, you know, local coast and South Louisiana talent on that team, and Coach Poole does a good job. But we're doing something a little different this year. We're going to play them twice. We're going to play once here in Hammond and then once in Hattiesburg, then compared to the traditional just seeing them once a year. So looking forward to that. And, you know, I mean, a lot of these players know one another on the rosters, so they've either played high school or travel ball with them or against. And so the familiarity is there, but I just look for our team to focus on us, and, you know, we can shake hands after the game.
Coach, good luck this week back home. Happy to have you back. Big game tonight against Southern Miss. That game will be on KSLU Plus and ESPN Plus. But, Coach, thanks for coming in and talking with us. Good luck this upcoming couple stretches.
Thank you. Line up.
We'll be right back here on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System.
Hampton and Hammond is a proud supporter of Lion Athletics and the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. Hampton and Hammond is located 3 miles from Southeastern Louisiana University at 401 Weston Oaks Drive. The Hampton and Hammond offers 81 rooms and features Wi-Fi, a fitness center, an outdoor pool, and hot breakfast options. More information on Hampton and Hammond is available at area code 985-419-2188. The Hampton and Hammond, proud supporter of Lion Athletics and this broadcast on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Rainbow Daiquiris is a proud supporter of Southeastern Athletics and this broadcast on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. Rainbow Daiquiris has been serving in the Hammond area since 1984. Located at 14384 West Thomas Street in Hammond, Rainbow Daiquiris offers a variety of daiquiris and beer, plus pool tables with late hours. Rainbow Daiquiris, proud supporters of Lion Athletics and this broadcast on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Let's get back to the action. This is Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System. I'm Damon Sunday, and we're joined now by Southeastern head baseball coach Bobby Barbier. And, Coach, boy, we didn't have a chance to talk last week because preempted a little bit because of the road trip, but there's a lot of baseball that's been squeezed into the last 2 weeks here. And the bats came alive. You're riding a five-game winning streak, and actually it's, what, 7 out of 8 at this point that you've won. Open conference up. So we got a lot to talk about here.
Yeah.
Let's go back a ways. Before we hit the road, we were talking about the early start to the Southland Conference play. You go up to Northwestern State, and you take two out of three. The pitching was extremely good up there at Northwestern State. You got a career performance out of Lake and Polk, and the pitching kind of carried it through the first couple games of this road trip.
Yeah, it was good conditions to pitch in. As many bad conditions to pitch in as we had this so far this year,
yeah.
Though, that was a good weekend to pitch. And, you know, that's my old alma mater. I kind of remember those times when, you know, every ball hit to the outfield over 90 wasn't a homer, you know.
Yeah.
It seems like other places and here sometimes it's like that. But, no, it was great. You know, we talked about it a bunch, how we need to get this team out of here and together. And, I mean, you're on the bus trip. You're on the bus with us. And, you know, the silly games and the things those guys do, you know, I mean, as silly as they seem, it makes them talk to each other. It makes them, you know,
It
makes them come together a little bit. And I thought that was really good to get out, you know, not only go to Northwestern, but then scoot over Monroe and just be out together in a hotel for a while. And, you know, swing the bat's great, you know, starting on Tuesday. I mean, we did some good things against Northwestern, you know, swinging the bat, got some big hits. It's so long ago, to be honest, I don't remember all of it. But, you know, I was proud of, you know, we got a big performance out of Lakin, you know, there, eight innings, I think it was, and played good defense behind him, which he needs. You know, now he's more of a sinker baller guy. He's getting a bunch of ground balls, and I thought the left side of the infield played really well.
Speaking of infield, Ben Robichaud was a guy that he kind of struggled offensively. I think he started like 0 for 12 on the year, and now he's your leading hitter. Like it's baseball, you know. We're talking averages and all that kind of stuff, but he was really the lead on the offense, keeping things going there at Northwestern State as he had a huge weekend. And he's a guy that he's turned into your most consistent hitter, really over the last several weeks here. What kind of growth have you seen from Ben from last year to this year and just kind of maturing as he kind of settles into that starting second base role for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ben is just a very he's a consistent person. You know, I mean, I know exactly who he is. I know what he's going to be on Friday. I know what he's going to be on Sunday and what he's going to be on Tuesday and just who he is. You know, he's always played great defense. He's on the amount of runs he saved us this year on big plays with men on base, you know, has been huge. And now the bat's coming around and, you know, you've seen it. I mean, he can hit for power at all parts of the park. I mean, he can run, he can do a lot of things to affect the game. So he's, you know, go from 0 for 12 to leading hitter. I mean, it's just our game, you know. I mean, we had so many guys struggling early. Mm-hmm. You know, these last five or six games, you saw the averages. You know, everybody's feeling a little better about things than they were, you know, 8 days ago. I mean, I think it was eight games in 8 days. So stressed out the pitching a little bit when you do it like that. But, you know, guys like Ben, man, Connor over there at shortstop, I mean, some of those guys, you know, really kind of getting some confidence moving forward. And hopefully we can build on that.
Well, you talked a little bit about the road trip, too, and you know, the bats got going at Monroe. Obviously, there's an ebb and flow to a baseball season. You know, not everybody and everything's going to be firing at 100%, you know, every time out. And usually when you have one going, you don't have the other. That's just the way of a baseball season. But what do you think was the key to this offense kind of breaking through here in the last week plus?
I think just consistent work. I think the offensive staff just putting their head down, going to work, you know, and figuring out, man, we've got all these tools now and video and analytics and all these websites we pay for and that we can see what we're really struggling at and what we need to get better. Coach Bush, Coach Dugat, Coach Goodwin, they're really smart guys that, you know, are willing to work at it, that have been through times like this, you know. I mean, it's hard for guys that haven't been through these things to go through them. I do think that, you know, our roots are all small school or mid-major, whatever you want to call it, roots. And normally you're going to go through some things like this, you know. And so I think having that experience is allowed us to not just lose our mind and panic and figure out what the things we need to work on. And they've done it. And Yeah, just kudos to them. And then kudos to the boys for sticking with it, you know. But we're still early in the season. I mean, obviously, I don't think we've figured it out by any stretch of imagination. We're going to face some good arms tonight. We're going to face some good arms this weekend. I mean, Stephen F. Austin's coming in, you know. I mean, they're playing great right now, you know. So we're gonna face some more tough times. But hopefully, you know, some of these older guys, you know. We have new older guys, which is a strange thing, right? You know, we have a bunch of new older guys, you know, and, you know, sometimes when an older guy, and I actually have some experience in this. My senior year is probably my worst year, to be honest, of baseball. And so sometimes you can really press that thing when it's going, oh, man, I don't have a whole lot left. And, you know, some guys have aspirations of being drafted, playing pro ball, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it can really jump on your back when it's like that, you know, more than a young guy who has a whole career ahead of him that, you know, that it can, you know, just trying to figure out what college baseball is. So I think we had a little bit of that going on too. So, but it was good to see the guys just playing a little more freely. You know, we tried to put a little more pressure on them in practice. So the game would free them up a little bit. And I think that worked. And we did it again yesterday, you know, not just going to do it when we're struggling, but doing when we're going well too. And so hopefully that can carry over.
Well, speaking of new old guys and then senior years and things going like that, we haven't seen Dane Watts in a little over a week. What kind of shape's he in right now, and how close is he to coming back?
Yeah, he's close. So he got some live at-bats yesterday. Maybe tried to get him an at-bat today. Mm-hmm. And then we're shooting for the weekend as him being back fully. Just some hamstrings, man, they're tough, especially a guy that plays center field. Man, it's a long jog out there every time, and when you run, you're going 100 miles an hour, you know, so you're just trying to protect against getting, you know, making this a season-long thing, you know, and making sure he's fully healthy. But I think he's pretty close.
We're talking with head coach Bobby Barbier, and coach, you know, you talked about teams coming together on the road and things like that as far as road trips go. Was that the plan when you scheduled this road trip out months ago? And have you ever intentionally scheduled that way where it's like, oh, this team, we got so many different guys coming in this year. We need to plan our long road trip so they can all get together.
It's not really. So I always, when I was at Northwestern, I always wanted to schedule one road non-conference series. Mm-hmm. For that reason. Here it's been a little more difficult because there's only two non-conference series, and if we play on the road for the third one, I don't want to be on the road for a second one, you know. So now I'm really pigeonholing myself for when you can do it, you know. So it's been a little more difficult with the schedule that we have now. But it worked out that way. Having Northwestern on the road, you don't want to play your first road game as a conference game, but that's just the way it works out sometimes. It's difficult. Scheduling is getting difficult, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is, you know. When we had success last year, it makes it harder, you know. I mean, when I schedule a team, I look at their record the year before, you know. I mean, I want to know what I'm up against.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, so you don't just get an automatic check mark because, you know, you have an open weekend, they have an open weekend. They're trying to do what's best for their program, too, whatever their stage of their program they're at. So in the future, if we'd have more, like if I could have three non-conference weekends to start the season, I mean, I would definitely want to use one of those as a road trip.
Okay, that's always interesting starting to pick brain and see kind of how, you know, what you think and how that shapes and really some of the things that you're up against or why decisions are made, because you'll hear fans call, why did they do this and why did they do that? And a lot of times you're just kind of like, well, you don't understand what's going on actually behind the scenes and what caused the decision to be stuff like that. It's always interesting, especially when, like, I guess we could kind of get into the weekend with the weather, and it's like, why did this and that and everything? And, you know, every time, well, I guess one of the crazy ones, we're all sitting there watching the Lightning, and, you know, we're still playing, but it's not in the radius of danger so that you can see it because it's lighting up the sky. But that's one of those things you're just kind of like, okay, it's going to hit at some point. When do we run out of luck here and we're sitting and waiting and all of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, no, that was a heck of a weekend. It might have been the longest day of baseball I ever had in my life. Yeah, it's just hard. You know, I mean, South Louisiana, like, if you don't have a front coming through that it's going to be in and out, like tonight, today, the front's coming through, it's going to be out of here, and we'll be good to go, you know, for the weekend. And it's just building, you know, in the Gulf or the lake, and you just never know when the storm's going to pop up, you know. So it's, we knew Sunday was going to be really difficult to get the game in. So we were just doing our best. You know, didn't want to really want to play two Friday, having just come off Tuesday, Wednesday, you know. So we really didn't want to do that. And they were on the same boat on that side. So we thought we had a chance to get them both in early. And then, you know, once you get that late, it's like, well, I mean, let's nobody wants to come back up here tomorrow, you know. And, but then they ended up having to do it. And then we just couldn't. I mean, it was just underwater, you know, by Sunday.
Well, it was an offensive weekend. Obviously, the bats continued on through here this last week. That's five straight games of double-digit hits, double-digit runs, all obviously victories for you. But Saturday, the pitching kind of struggled a bit. But I say struggle. This is the game of baseball. Obviously, the pitching struggled, but at the same time, Grambling State was generating runs, so they were doing something well. What were they doing so well?
Man, I thought they had a great approach. They had left-handed hitters in there and two switch hitters, and had bat speed. And they were on it, you know, and credit to them. They did a great job. Man, I told Davin after the game, one of the best offenses we faced all year. You know, probably besides Kent State, and I know Southern Miss was good. They weren't very good the day we had them, but I thought they did a great job. And, you know, we wanted to keep our starters lower pitch counts. It's the one weekend where you can kind of give them a little bit of rest, you know. So we kind of had that idea going in. And we just didn't, you know, we didn't limit the damage, you know, whenever we could have, you know. And then we had some relievers that walked too many and, you know, did some of those things that we can't do. So we got to learn from it, you know. I mean, I think there's a perception of what a team's going to be. When you play them, when you see them on the schedule, and I thought Kent State was that way. You know, I mean, I really thought that just because of some of our guys, maybe perception of Kent State when it wasn't that way, it shocked them a little bit, and then it kind of dizzied us for a while afterwards after we got beat. If we'd had Texas on the schedule there and they came in and did what Kent State did, you probably feel a little okay about it, right? Because then you're not questioning everything because you know Texas is good. Well, I knew Kent State was good too, you know, and it's college baseball, and and especially right now, college baseball is in a weird spot, you know. It's where, I mean, I think you had Arkansas, Florida, and LSU both lose two out of three to mid-major, I guess you can call them, type teams, both where each one of those teams has a player on their team that makes more money than the other roster combined, you know? And it's crazy to think that. But, but you and I have been around baseball long enough to know that that can't happen, you know? I mean, just because that guy is going to be a good pick doesn't mean he's going to play well that day. I liken it to football, where just because a linebacker, the player of the year defensive end or defensive linebacker runs a 4-4 every day, he's going to do that every day in football. You know, in baseball, that's just not – sometimes your skill set doesn't come into play, or, you know, you have a bad day and you get bad pitches or you hit balls at them. You know, there's just so many things that in our game that happen. So I think perception really hurts our guys sometimes. And the other way, too, if you perceive somebody to be more than what they are and give them too much credit, you know, I think that can affect the team, too. So it's really just trying to convince them to – we just got to play pitch by pitch. All the coach speak, you know, that you can, and to play the best that we can. And that team, it doesn't matter who they are. Like South Owl could be LSU, could be Grambling, could be Kent State tonight. They could be all of those teams.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows what they're going
to be? The mental aspect is so huge.
Who knows what they're going to be tonight? You know, I mean, I have no idea what they're going to be tonight. I mean, the team that, you know, lost two out of three at home to La Tech, are they going to be the team that won, you know, eight games in a row? I mean, so it doesn't matter. If there's so much variability there, it really doesn't matter. All that matters is us and who we're going to be tonight, you know. And so just trying to get that through their minds of, you know, that's the things that we can control And then when we leave it, we're going to leave it there and get ready to play Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah. Speaking of where are we going to be at tonight mentally, you're a month in now. What do you know about this team and where are you at compared to where you wanted to be in the process, I guess?
I know that they're willing, which I wasn't sure about 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're willing to change. They're willing to listen. They're willing to, and you don't know that till you get them in the fire. You know, I mean, they were great all preseason, all fall till the first game. They were fantastic. They practiced hard. They worked hard. They're good kids, all of those things. But when their stats show up on the internet now, mm-hmm. and you get wins and losses, and then maybe you don't play a couple games in a row, and you do all those things, well, then now it matters. You know, now different factors come in. So now we're going to see if you're willing. So they are. They're willing to do all the things we're asking them to do. So that's check, right? So that means you can get where you want to be if they're like that. You can get through the hard times. You can play hard still when it's going good. You know, like you can do all of those things. I would like to pitch better, hit better, feel better. I mean, I don't know if we're ever going to be at a point where I wouldn't like to do that better. You know, I mean, those things, I think our defense has gotten much better. I think our pitching has been good in spurts. You know, we got to figure out a way to not leave every outing with a crooked number as a starter. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like we're pretty good for a few innings, and then we have an inning that we got, instead of three, it's got to be one, you know. And there's a lot of factors that go on there. Offensively, the last five games, I have obviously nothing to complain about. We've swung the bat extremely well. Let's keep doing that. Maybe not get 10 hits that game, but find ways to score when we're not, you know. I think getting Dane back is going to really help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's ironic. I told him, I said, we didn't start hitting until you got out of there. He laughed. But, I mean, he's one of our guys, you know. So it's like, you know, getting him back is going to be, you know, make that lineup a little deeper. Another mm-hmm. left-handed hitter, you know. I mean, do some of the things that we can do. So not pleased. I mean, pleased is, I don't know, maybe, I guess, is a word that we could use. But I'm happy with the growth. Mm-hmm. I guess is what I'm happy with. I'm happy with the fact that where we started after the first four or five games, the mental state we were in, how we've come this far, now we just got so much further to go.
Well, good. We've got we've got baseball coming up here this evening. For those of you that are listening and following the show tonight, 6:30 first pitch from Mobile, Alabama against South Al. So, Coach, thanks for joining us, and obviously best of luck here coming up against the Jaguars this evening.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more here on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System.
We'll be right back on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System.
Chyna Hammond is a proud supporter of Lion Athletics and the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. Chyna is located in downtown Hammond at 123 South Kate Street, less than a mile from the SLU campus. Chyna serves locally sourced Italian comfort foods made with house-cured meats, fresh produce, and handmade pasta. More information on Chyna is available on their website at cenahammond.com. Chyna Hammond, proud supporters of Lion Athletics and this broadcast on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
In the U.S., one in five children with cancer will not survive. But there is hope because of you. Help give them more birthdays, more moments, more tomorrows, because every child deserves a chance to grow up. Give them tomorrow. Support St. Jude today.
You're listening to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. I'm here with head Southeastern golf coach Lawrence Allen. And Coach, welcome to the show. First time having you on Inside Southeastern Athletics. How are you doing today?
Hey, Tyler, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to get going. I'm good.
So, Coach, talk about this year. Talk about your roster construction a little bit. It seems like you got a nice balance of fresh faces alongside some guys who have been with your program for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. We have 10 guys on the roster currently. We have 2 internationals, 1 from out of state, and 7 in-state kids. We have, you need to fact check me on this. I'm pretty sure we have 3 fifth-year seniors and 2 freshmen, a couple of sophomores, and a couple of juniors. So we have a very nice balance, like you said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. Now, that was the number I had, too, on the seniors. I had 3 of them, so that was perfect. Coach, yeah. Golf's an interesting sport, and it's a lot different than a lot of the other sports on campus, and that's what we really wanted to talk to you about. From my perspective, it seems like it's vastly different every time, in the sense that the course you play on is probably different every time, as opposed to like a basketball court or a football field. How do you prepare as a team for those different courses? And you may have not played on any of those. They're like a certain level of finding out when you get there, because you're also going against the elements on those days too.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's a little bit different to most sports. It's a very individual sport. And obviously the course and the weather conditions change dramatically every single day. So there's a lot of adapting. So when we're practicing, obviously we practice at our home course, but we're hitting different types of shots from different types of grasses, different types of lies, hitting low shots, high shots, shaping the ball both ways, just so we're prepared for anything that the golf course and Mother Nature can throw at us on a given day.
Yeah, and I was looking at some of the results from this year, and they've ranged. Obviously, you've had a year where you've had some great successes, and then you've had some, you know, not so great weekends. But the cool thing about it is, you know, I think probably your worst weekend, your score that weekend would have won another event. So it's just kind of just the interesting thing about golf is that, you know, sometimes a lot more goes into it than just the score at the end of the game.
Yeah, definitely. When you look at our scores online, they vary dramatically. But take the fall, we played 5 tournaments in the fall. We finished under par for 3 of them. So finished under par 3 out of 5 tournaments. When you've got 5 kids, trying to get 5 kids to play good at the same time is very difficult. So anytime you can finish under par, that's a really good achievement. So far this spring, the first 2 events we played were really early. The weather wasn't very good. It was really difficult. But we played last week in Houston over at HCU's home event. We played good. We finished in 3rd position, which was really positive for us, and I'm hoping we can continue that for the rest of the spring into conference.
Yeah, you talked about last time out, Sugarland, Texas, at the HCU Invitational. Yep. You guys, 3rd place finish out of 15 teams. That's very difficult. That's a lot of teams represented. What was working for you guys that week?
I think it was a combination of a few things. We had 2 seniors, Griffin Dorr and Noah Bumgarner, really play well, which is what we need out of our 5th-year senior guys. We need them stepping up, leading the way, showing the youngsters kind of how it's done. So they played well. Then we had David Marsh, 2nd semester freshman, really stepped up in the last round, put a really nice round together, which moved us up 2 or 3 positions in the standing.
And you mentioned after that HCU Invitational, you were looking for that result to kind of provide some momentum going forward. You guys head to Tennessee in 2 weeks to the Austin Peay Intercollegiate. Have any of your guys played the Greystone there? Will this be another original experience?
No, this is a brand new event for the program. Austin Peay, this is their first time hosting that I'm aware of. They got a brand new coach last year, who I'm reasonably good friends with, so we got the invitation to play their tournament. This is the first time we've been there, so this will be brand new for everyone. I'm excited. This Greystone golf course up there is meant to be in excellent condition, so it'll be a great experience for our student athletes.
That's it. That's the other thing, too, is that you guys aren't playing a lot. So when you go to these events, they're so big as far as results and what you can see. And obviously, you guys are playing golf, but as far as like results on a stat sheet and stuff, you aren't necessarily playing as much as other sports, because from, you know, September to now, there's only a few tournaments that you guys have showings for. Talk about how maybe that's difficult sometimes, where you know, don't have as many opportunities to show out as maybe some other sports do.
Yeah, that's one of the unique, I want to say, challenges of golf. But we play lots of qualifying. The best way to try and get the guys ready for a tournament is to play team qualifying. So we have 10 guys in the roster. I can only take 5 to a tournament. So what we do is we have, before each tournament, we play a minimum of 2 rounds of qualifying, sometimes as many as 5 or 6, to get the guys used to competitive golf, try and get them ready for these events. And during the summer's tough because it's up to the guys to go and play in individual events. So we manage it the best we can, but it's just one of those challenges we face as golfers trying to find events to play in.
What you just mentioned is very interesting to me. So as much as it is a team sport that you, you know, are part of a team, it's also kind of competitive in the sense that you can, you know, outperform your teammate and you can be the one that goes. How do you kind of balance that with the team aspect of everything?
That's a great question, because qualifying is horrible. I hated it as a player. I hate watching it as a coach, because you are putting 10 guys who are best of friends up against each other, and they're trying to beat their best friends, roommates, and teammates for a starting spot. So it's extremely competitive. It's extremely stressful. But unfortunately, it's necessary to get ready.
Yeah, and looking forward to the end of the season, the Southland Conference Championships. Talk about the conference this year. Have you seen any of the teams in the conference that you'll see in the conference tournament? Are you, you know, I know obviously you're not looking past next week, but, you know, what's the conference look like as far as, you know, Southland Conference golf?
Yeah, so golf's scheduled a little bit differently to the other sports. Most of the other sports you play against the conference teams week in, week out, pretty much exclusively. But golf, it's up to the coach makes the schedule, so you don't have to play against the conference teams. But we've played the same events as Nichols, UNO, Carnot Ward, HCU. We've had, I think, one look at Lamar, one look at UTRGV, and they're all good teams. Anyone can beat anyone on any given day, so I'm hopeful that come conference week we can produce our best stuff, because we've shown our best golf is good enough to win golf tournaments, and it's just, it's timing. If we can play good on the right week, we have a really good chance.
Well, Coach, good luck to you in a couple weeks in Tennessee. Big event there, a couple events left in the year. We'll definitely have you back on the show to talk more about it. Thanks for coming. Thanks for talking with us. We appreciate it.
Perfect. Thank you, Tyler. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. We'll be right back here on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System.
University Donuts is a proud supporter of Southeastern Athletics in the Lyon community. University Donuts offers breakfast and lunch options weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and weekends from 6:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Located less than 1 mile from campus at 1215 West University Avenue, University Donuts is available by phone at area code 985-542-1588 or online at facebook.com/universitydonuts. University Donuts, proud to support your Southeastern Lions. Lion up.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to the action. This is Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. I'm Darcy Lorigan, and I am joined by Paige Duncan tonight. So, Paige, you are originally from Denham Springs. What is it like to play a sport so close to home?
It's so great. My parents get to come to every single match. My sister comes, my boyfriend comes, grandparents. It's so nice. And I grew up in the area and a lot of my friends with the Southeastern, so it's just good to be here.
Hammond is local, you know, we call ourselves Hammond America. So what is it like to be immersed in the environment as a student athlete?
I don't know. I feel like we're treated really well as athletes. Not anything too special or anything. We're still regular students, but they let us balance our like school and athletic life really, really well. Because we're students first, obviously, but we still train really, really hard. It's good.
Research. When I was doing my research for this interview, I saw that you were the only American-born athlete currently on the roster for the tennis team. What is the team culture like?
It's really nice because everyone comes from all over the world, and being the only American is fun because I like to see people experience American things for the first time. It's kind of funny because the culture is so different than other places, but I also get to learn a lot about other places and get invites to other places as well, which I love.
You said invites to other places. Have you actually gone to an invite from one of your teammates, and what was that experience like?
In the States, I have, but when I graduate and have a little more money, I plan on going out of the country. I would love to go visit Europe because I have so many teammates and old teammates from Europe that I just love to go see it.
We've talked about the team being from, honestly, all over the world. Talk about what it's like to see these different cultures come together on the court.
I feel like it, especially the language we use on court and whatnot, like even me, who's never used the word vamos before in my life, I find myself when I'm cheering for my Spanish teammates using that. Or we have some teammates from Republic of Georgia, and they use the term meaty, and I'm like, I like to use it as well. It's just another way to cheer them on and make them feel a little more at home, even though they're so far away.
What is something that you have learned from your teammates, whether it's you talked about certain words, like what are just some things you've learned from them?
How terrible our food is here. And it tastes delicious, especially in Louisiana, obviously, but they've taught me how to be a little healthier and take care of my body, fuel it a little better than I may have grown up knowing, which I think is kind of funny, but yeah.
So we mentioned earlier about you using your teammates' language to cheer them on. How has the team utilized the diversity of the cultures that have been presented?
I think it's nice to have so many different perspectives, and like if we have the same complete mindset going into every match, you can't bring so many different things that can elevate the team. I think having everyone come from different places and different coaches and different backgrounds really builds a strong foundation for us.
So we know tennis is headed by Coach Hayes. Just kind of talk about how he has taken the role to help these athletes who are so far from home and what that perspective is like for you being local.
Obviously for me, I have the great pleasure of having my family close by, but that's not even close to the case. But he's very open to, obviously, their family coming to visit. And in the fall, when we're not in season, he's very open to them traveling home and visiting, and FaceTimes on the bus rides, FaceTimes after the matches, he will talk to them and whatnot, which I love. Even my parents, who he sees all the time at the matches, he still takes the time to stop by and say hello. So I like it.
I think it was tennis. I saw the other day on Instagram where y'all went to the beach. Was that you guys? Talk about how that trip came to fruition and just what it was like for the girls and for you.
So we actually went to the beach recently in Orlando, and he also brought us to Universal, which was a blast. We had a whole trip to Pensacola in the fall. He's very much a, we're in college, get great experiences, and enjoy ourselves while we're here, because we're students and athletes first, but while you're in college, have some fun and have good experiences. And laying on the beach and going to the beach house, it's such a good bonding experience for everyone. And it's a long road trip as well, so playing road trip games and just chit-chatting, maybe going a little insane on the bus, but it brings us all together.
Okay, we talked a lot about the culture of the team and a lot about the team experiences, but let's focus in on you. What has been your experience being an athlete with the Lions?
I really, really like it. The community in Hammond is so strong. We have so many people that come to our matches. We have one of the very nice guys who's brought us a coffee. My dog comes to the matches and gets to play with all the other dogs. It's just very community-based, and I absolutely love it.
Since I pulled you out of practice, we may as well talk about practice. What's the toughest part of preparing for upcoming matches?
Getting into the match mindset. It's easy to maybe try and slack off on those days when you're tired, but we know we have big matches, especially being in conference. We're going to play Corpus this coming weekend, and really focusing and grinding every single minute of practice for what little time we do have, and while also not killing our bodies, of course, but still trying to bring as much as we can to get ready.
Awesome. And what does being a Lion specifically mean to you?
I think it means being fierce on the court, bringing everything you got, and still with very great sportsmanship as well. We're not a mean team. We're very respectful when we go play these matches. The refs talk about and other coaches talk about how we're very respectful, but we also put up a really good fight, and we never, ever give up.
Awesome. I love that. Final question. If you could say anything to the fans of Hammond America, what would you say?
Come watch our matches. we really love the support, and it helps so, so much having those seats filled and having the cheers for when we win points and win matches. It really helps a lot.
All right. Thank you so much, Paige. We'll be right back to close out the show. You're listening to Inside Southeastern Athletics presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System.
Hampton and Hammond is a proud supporter of Lion Athletics and the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. Hampton and Hammond is located 3 miles from Southeastern Louisiana University at 401 Weston Oaks Drive. The Hampton and Hammond offers 81 rooms and features Wi-Fi, a fitness center, an outdoor pool, and hot breakfast options. More information on Hampton and Hammond is available at area code 985-419-2188. The Hampton and Hammond, proud supporter of Lion Athletics and this broadcast on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Piggly Wiggly is a proud supporter of Southeastern Athletics. Piggly Wiggly is located in Hammond and Independence and has been helping to bring home the bacon for millions of American families for over 100 years. Piggly Wiggly offers a variety of items for the holiday season. Located at 18150 US 190 and 345 West Railroad Avenue in Independence, Piggly Wiggly is available by phone at area code 985-345-7729. Piggly Wiggly, proud supporters of Southeastern Athletics on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. Lion up!
You're listening to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
All right, before we get out of here, let's take a quick look at what's ahead on the athletics calendar. Softball is already underway at North Oak Park this evening against Southern Miss. And coming up after the show today, baseball is at South Alabama. First pitch is slated for 6:30 p.m. at Stanky Field in Mobile, Alabama. This weekend, beach volleyball is back in New Orleans for the Tulane Bayou Beach Duels, taking on UTEP, Texas A&M Kingsville, Central Arkansas, Nichols, McNeese, and host Tulane. Currently 9-2 this season, tennis has a home match Friday at 10 a.m. against Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Two-time reigning Southland Conference Tournament champion softball back at home for Southland Conference play. They'll host Houston Christian in a three-game series. That is a 4 p.m. doubleheader Friday and a single game at noon Saturday out at North Oak Park. And reigning Southland champ baseball returns to conference play this weekend at home, hosting Stephen F. Austin in a three-game series at Pat Connealy Diamond at Alumni Field. Games are scheduled for 6 p.m. Friday, 2 p.m. Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday. All the baseball action can be heard right here on KSLU 90.9 The Lion, online at either lionsports.net/listenlive or lionupradio.org via the following apps: the Lions Game Day Experience, Live 365, iHeart, Odyssey, TuneIn, and MyTuner Radio, or on your Alexa speaker. All you need to do is enable the skill first and then say, Alexa, play KSLU. And then we have student broadcasts of the softball games that can be heard on our alternate stream, that's KSLU Plus, available online at lineupradio.org or through the Live 365 and Lions Game Day Experience apps only. For Tyler Thomas and Darcy Lorigan, I'm Damon Sundy. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside Southeastern Athletics presented by North Oaks Health System. If you missed any part of it, the show will be archived online at both lineupradio.org and lionsports.net. Don't forget you can join us here each Wednesday at 5 on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.